Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 198, and the last episode of The Dream Show for 2017. But of course, we will be continuing. We've been going for 9 years. Is it 9 years? Anyway, we'll keep on going. And we will be fast approaching episode 200 in very early 2018. But back to today's episode, 198. And my guest today, bringing me a dream, is LRH. Now, LRH is from Sydney in Australia. And as many of you will know from listening to The Dream Show, the idea is that I have no idea what dream the guest is going to bring up or talk about once we press the record button. We've just done that. So I know now, but you don't. So it's an interesting dream. And as with many dreams, often our dreams are trying to resolve a conflict that's in our life. And you'll see that very clearly in this dream. And you'll hear it as LRH and I are talking, trying to really get to the nuts and the bolts of the conflict that's going on in her life and how to resolve it. So enjoy the listen. But just before we go there, of course, the website addresses. So my website, if you haven't been there for a while, is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. And that leads on to the Dream Academy, where you can go and study online various dream courses. The direct address for that is dream-academy-online.com, or you'll get there via links from janetheresa.com. Of course, if you want to listen to all 198 episodes of The Dream Show, you can go to janetheresa.com. You can listen to them all there, hours and hours and hours of listening, or you can always listen to the last 10 on iTunes, or find me on social media, which is mostly Facebook and Instagram. So here we go, LRH and her dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, LRH. How are you?
Very, very good, Jane. How are you?
I'm really well. I'm in Brisbane. You're in Sydney. It's sort of supposed to be summer, and we've actually got a freezing cold rainy day, and it's absolutely wonderful. It's so good. I love it.
We've got a nice spring-type summery day over here.
That's beautiful. And as well as a lovely springtime summery day, you've got a dream, and I don't know what it is, so I'm standing by. Would you like to tell me about your dream now?
Okie dokie. Well, I'll read it out. This one happened around the 7th of September during the full corn harvest moon. I sort of titled it the businessman stroke investor. Anyway, I'll start off. I dreamt I was walking and talking alongside an older businessman stroke investor. We walked around his several large pools containing varying water temps and consistencies, some normal, tranquil, hot, deep, wavy, cold and icy. Many people were swimming in his waters. He walked me up to a high section of ground and asked me to retrieve his briefcase, stating that amongst it was corporate-style gifts stroke giveaways for the clients. He stated, "You're welcome to help yourself to a few." I stepped upwards and inside the large white building and easily located his suitcase. Upon opening it, I noticed it held paperwork, and among several separate sections, there contained a small bunch of four coloured pens. Two sides contained logo-style lead pencils and a few rounded flower-shaped coloured erasers. Upon sighting, I thought, since he has several, I'll take a pen of each colour, two pencils and one or two of the erasers. I then thought, will they work? So I tested a few in the centre of the case. They weren't marking the small side of white paper I'd grabbed. I then selected to try pens from a side pocket. They were half working. As I knew he was waiting, I grabbed several pens in the front pocket section, which were all working, thinking, I'll do this later. I rushed out to meet him, sticking two of the four pens I wanted to keep in my side jacket pocket and the remaining few in my pants pocket. Upon sighting this, he said words to the effect of, I see you've got a few. He placed his hand out for his briefcase. I'm thinking, I'm not going to get to swap the three pens or the pencils and the pencils and the rubber. Next, he's taking me for a closer look at his pool, pointing out select ones. All clear, whitish blue, with several mainly brown-haired, young to middle-aged people enjoying their swim. I then suddenly noticed that we've changed in swimming costumes at his top rough wavy pool. He makes a joke and, to my sheer shock, pushes me in the deep end. To my surprise, I notice the water to be warm, spa temperature, and we swim. When walking out, I notice a large pool looking more normal temperature. I step in and, as I'm already so warm, notice that the water becomes icy cool. I step out and he shows me a contract. He appeared as a father figure showing me a contract for sale for my new home from a selection of his freshly built prestige residential houses, where if I purchased the 3 to 4 bedroom home, it gave me an option to later add an additional room free of charge, which would increase its value as a 4 to 5 bedroom house. I'm thinking, this is an outstanding deal. I'll take it, and thought back to the left pencils, rubbers and pens I wanted to swap. I could hear a woman speaking, trying to prevent me from retrieving them. Luckily, something woke me up, as this dream involved much thought. And that's the end.
I love it. I love, on the one hand, you've got this big deal about this huge sort of prestige home going on. And on the other hand, you've got this other deal with these small pens and erasers going on.
Oh, I just wanted to get one of each colour, and only two of them were working and two of them weren't working. And I thought, I'll test them when I get outside. And then he asked for the briefcase back. And then I realised I'm stuck with these pens I don't want. But I can't really ask him back because I've already got to, you know. But it was all sort of full of giveaways for clients.
Yes,
and then there was some woman in the background talking, and she didn't, I can't remember what she said, but she didn't want me to be able to swap pens, or I don't even know what it was about. But it was, you know, in some way she was stopping me from getting, you know, the things swapped over or something or other.
Have you any idea what colours were working, you know, with of the pens that you had, which colours were working?
Four pen colours, I think, just, you know, mainly, you know, what you'd have, four main colours, probably blue, black, red, and maybe a yellow, I don't know, not yellow, orange or something. It was just four colours.
Mm.
One would have been blue, one would have been black, and, you know, maybe actually green and purple, maybe, I'm thinking, just, you know, four nice sort of colours.
Mm.
But because they were different, and there was just two pencils with just the logo, which I don't recall reading what the logo said.
Mm.
And then the erasers were like, one was red, one was yellow, they're all different colours, and they were little shaped flowers that would do with the logo for this business.
So the logo was kind of flowery as well then, you think?
The logo was just, I didn't know it was wording like you normally have for a business, but it was just a flower, like it had a centre circle inside, and it was like a flower-like shape, you know, how you normally see a rubber eraser, how it would be scalloped around in it. There was probably four different colours in the rubbers, and I thought, well, I'll get a couple of those, if, you know, if they get a few.
Do you use erasers or rubbers a lot in life?
Not a lot. I like rubbers, but I don't use them all that much.
All right.
I'm stationary mad, but I don't know why I had a dream about stationary, because that's about the first dream of stationary I've ever had.
I love it. I'm just trying to figure out how big a role erasers and rubbers play in your life. It's interesting that, yeah, you say stationary mad, and stationary also means like standing still. And in this dream, we've got a lot of moving forward, but we've also got, you know, the voice in the background wanting to stop you from going somewhere. So we've kind of got this stopping from going somewhere and this moving forward and around this maybe stationary idea as well. But we'll go to the... your dream was the 7th of September, so it would have been reflecting what happened for you on the day or two before. And it begins with a business investor kind of feeling. So, you know, everyone in a dream represents something about yourself. So there's a feeling in this dream that maybe or maybe not, you were either thinking about a business or, you know, more symbolically, investing something in yourself. You know, what kind of investments do you make in yourself, in your work, in your daily life?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the beginning of it, really. And then I love the way that it jumped straight from that kind of male kind of feeling of, you know, the male in the dream and the business side of things and the investing and the money. And it jumped straight into all these lovely pools with all these different, you know, icy, tranquil, hot, warm, rough, all the different emotional feels of all the pools, which is a sort of more feminine kind of feel, isn't it?
Yeah, there probably would have been about six pools or seven or eight pools, and that each pool was a different temperature and it was all different, and there were different styles and different depths, and like as I said, one was wavy, one was hot, one, they're all different, and there was people swimming in it. It was like if you looked over at the public pools, but much more grand, and there was people in there. They all seemed to be probably like youngest about 10 to 12 to like 45 years old, around that age group, and these people were just swimming in the pools. It wasn't full of people, but there was people in there swimming in each one. But I've never dreamt of pools like that either, but all the water was clear, like it was just all different temperatures and different type of pools.
So it's almost as if it's beautiful. I love it. So it's almost as if these are, because you mentioned a lot of emotional words there, you know, icy and tranquil. And later on in the dream, rough. It's almost as if these are the emotional components of your dream, the emotions that you're processing in the dream. And particularly that sense when you mentioned, a lot of the people there were aged about 10 to 12 and say up to 45 years. So I'd say that this dream might be, I don't know whether you're at 45. Have you passed 45 yet?
I think round about there, that's probably about my age. I'm not quite, I have to sort of work it out. As soon as I turned 21, I erased it from my mind.
Oh, I love that. And I love the fact that you just said the word erased as well, like erasers. I love that. So there's a feeling sometimes, although our dreams can be very symbolic and amazing, they often get the numbers quite right. And when anyone's talking about a dream and they mention the age of people, usually those numbers are quite specific. So there's a feeling here, I'd say, that we might be revisiting what was happening for you emotionally when you were aged about 10 to 12. And possibly like right up to today, if you are 45-ish, or how you feel about 45. So I'm not going to ask you just yet, but have a sort of feeling in the back of your mind about when you were aged 10 to 12 and what was going on for you then. So, and also, you know, because you instantly talk about erasing things from your mind when you turn 21, which we can all totally relate to. That's really good. I like that idea. I love it very much. But because you brought it up, it may also be this dream about what you want to focus on in life and what you want to erase, either what you want to erase because you don't want to go there, or what, and it might be good for you to go there, but also what you might want to erase because it's not good to go there, you don't want to go there. So it's kind of like an evaluation of what do I want to remember, what do I want to forget, and are some of the things that I want to forget or erase worth revisiting? Are they valuable to me? Might there be an investment to me, like the business investor here, or is my actual real investment in myself about erasing a lot of my past and just forgetting it completely, you know, just moving on from there? So it's almost like that's the question up the front of the dream, and the different temperatures of the pools almost like taking your different temperature for your different emotions and feelings around this subject. So so that's kind of like, you know, the first part of it. Then we sort of go from this very feminine kind of all the pools and the emotions and the feelings and shall I erase it or not, to this more male symbol again of the briefcase, don't we? And it's a white briefcase, which is quite unusual, isn't it?
No, it was a great big white mansion-y type house, and I just went straight in, and it was a normal briefcase, like brown. I think it was just normal brown or black. But the house was white. But I just walked straight in, and I could see it pretty easy. And I had to sort of go up a hill and a couple of steps to get in there, and then he was waiting outside.
Oh, perfect.
But,
That's really
good. It was a single level, but a big one of those big white houses on a hill type thing. And, and all those pools and things. I just was a bit shocked when I appeared suddenly back down there, and I was all of a sudden in a costume when I was in clothes before. And next thing I know, I'm thrown in the water.
How did you feel about being in the swing costume? Did you feel like, ooh, look at me, I'm in a swing costume?
I was in shock that I was actually in a costume all of a sudden talking to this businessman. There's still people swimming in the water. Everyone's in a costume, but we were in clothes before. Like, he was in a suit.
So were you shocked?
And I was in, like,
Were you shocked?
Yeah, and then he mucked around joking, and next thing I know, he pushed me in the water, in the deep water, and it was hot. I thought it was going to be like lava or something, but it was just like a spa, you know.
Were you shocked because of the sudden clothes change, or because you didn't want to be seen wearing the costume?
No, I know that I'm always in costume here at home, okay. But no, it doesn't bother me. I just was shocked that I suddenly didn't have. I had full clothes on one second, and the next second, like normally, I'd probably change, but there was no changing involved. I just all of a sudden was wearing a costume without knowing I'd changed in the dream. It just was instant.
So
and then
this,
I was in the water.
It's almost the same, isn't it? Like the beginning of the dream goes from, I'm on this walk with this business investor and it's all very serious. It's all very kind of male dominated. And all of a sudden it's, oh, these pools and these emotions. And here we go again, like I'm walking with a man, and we're in our proper kind of clothes that we would have for talking like this. And all of a sudden, oh no, I'm in my costume just like I would be at home. So it's kind of this almost like two halves trying to get in balance. You know, where are you, LRH? Are you the kind of businessy image here, or are you the part of yourself that feels at home and, you know, with all the emotions? But I love what you said there, that you basically get thrown in the deep end and it's a shock. So there may have been a situation a couple of days before the dream where you either felt thrown in the deep end with something, or you were thinking to yourself, oh, I could take a risk, and it feels like, oh, that would be throwing myself in the deep end. But I have a feeling that you did feel like you were suddenly thrown in the deep end over something a couple of days before your dream. And then, because at that moment, or just prior to that, you'd had the opportunity to take the gifts, the giveaways, the pencil, and particularly the erasers, there's almost a sense in the dream of, well, that thing that happened where in my life where I suddenly felt like, oh, I feel like I've been thrown in the deep end. Do I want to erase that, or do I want to take the pencils and kind of write about it? Is this something that I want to, like the pencils and the erasers are kind of opposites, aren't they? One records and the other rubs it out. So there's this thing of, do I want to write about this, keep it in my memory, this feeling of being, this shock of being thrown in the deep end, or do I want to erase it? I'm not sure, but I thought it was going to be really hard being thrown in the deep end, but actually, like in the dream, it was actually just like a spa. It was quite nice for a while.
Yeah, it was quite nice.
And then the other thing I noticed, you know, before I ask you how it exactly relates, is that you, when you were looking for the pens and the erasers in the briefcase, there was somewhere in the front, and you particularly mentioned some in the side. And then later on, you said you put some in your side jacket pocket. So it was two emphases on the side. So it's almost like there's a consideration of what's up front in your life and what people can see, or what you're putting up front. And then there's this other thing about what you're putting on the side or to the side for later, or half hiding.
Well, my father was a magician, so there's lots of things on the side. I'm used to side pockets.
Okay. did you say your father or your partner? I missed that bit.
But my late father was a magician.
Oh, your late father was. Okay.
Yeah, so he was on stage at 6, tinkering at 4. So I'm used to seeing side pockets and shows.
Right, that's lovely. So there's a sense there of maybe being the magician yourself then. Every time you reference a side pocket in the dream, it's like, that's some magic that I'll use later. I know how to use this.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually get a hold of a rubber because they were left in the briefcase, but I think I had two pens that worked, and there was three or four that I didn't. I had to test them, and my intention was to test them and, you know, get to fix it up later, because I knew this businessman was waiting for me just to grab the briefcase, and I knew when they're very impatient type personality, they're in a hurry, they go, go, go. He was one of these personalities. So, originally we were just long distance walking around, like looking at the pools from afar, and then when we came back, we were right at the pool, like right where you jump in, like right on top of them. So, and that was when I was in the costume, you know, and I'm thinking, how did I change into a costume? And like, you know, before I was, it's like with an employer, you wouldn't all of a sudden be in a costume with an employer. It was a bit bizarre.
it's almost like in life there's this feeling of with the pens maybe writing, or as I say, recording memories or something like that, but it's also almost as if in life it's, how did I've suddenly made a change, how did this happen, you know, I've gone from a certain business idea or a certain way of presenting myself in life, and suddenly I feel like I've been thrown in the deep end and everything's changed. How did it change? It's a bit of a shock. There's changes going on in my life. How do I feel about this? And then, you know, also backtracking slightly, as you said, there's a feeling that the pools were in the distance. There's all this emotional stuff in the distance, and all of a sudden it's not in the distance at all. I'm right in the middle of it. So it's like there's been this big emotional stuff happening for you, and you're thinking, how did this happen? How do I feel about this? How did it also suddenly change? And what do I want to keep and kind of put in writing? And what do I want to rub out and use those erasers for? And also because those erasers were a business logo, there's something there, isn't there, about, there's something important about that erasing. It's not just rubbing out or forgetting. It's almost like that is the logo. That's the business. I can't quite grab onto it at the moment, but there's something important about the need to rub out or to forget or to change. I guess it's to change things. You can have things written down and take an eraser and change them. This is about changing the way that you look at things, changing the way you write about things.
I did look at the flowery type rubbers and think they're very flowery for a business. You know, I looked at them and thought these are like a little girl's eraser. Like, what's he using these for? That's what crossed my mind. But you know, and the pens were like a certain one was one color, the other and the other, and the pencils were lead, you know, the normal lead with the logo, and the rubbers were like a flower, but you know, different colors, like a whole one would be red, one would be blue, one would be, you know, a certain color, and each one was different. But like a center circle, maybe yellow and a blue outside for the flower part. But I thought they looked very feminine for a business. I thought, why is he using these flower erasers? But anyway, and then I sort of was in a hurry and put them, well, I didn't get to do anything with the money, you know, had a look at the pens and put them in the pockets and out I went. But I noticed I put some in a side jacket pocket and some in a side pant pocket. So the ones I wanted to keep, I think I put in the jacket, and the ones I wasn't sure, and I think I put in the pants side. I'm not sure.
Right, okay. I'll have to read. So there was a feeling of wanting to keep some of the flowery erasers, even though you thought, oh, they're a bit feminine or a bit childish. So there's a sense that this dream is about.
So I wonder why he'd, as a businessman, be using flower erasers. But anyway.
So the dream is all about you. So it's got this feeling of, you may have previously thought of business as having to be very almost male-like in some ways, and structured and maybe rational or something like that. But in your dream, there's this feeling of, well, actually, why not? Why can't there be a change? Why can't the business be more emotional, more flowery, even more childish in a way? You know, maybe we can erase, maybe we can make some changes here. And that's where the dream then opens up to an amazing gift. You know, beyond the gift of the giveaway pens and erasers, you actually get suggested that if you get a 3 or 4 bedroom prestige home, you've got the option of a free extra room, you know, like, so it's almost like, if you go this more emotional, feminine, more in your costume, so it's more the LRH that lives at home, you know, rather than the LRH that shows a face in a business. It's like if you bring more of yourself into this, the more flowery, in my costume, in the water, in the emotions, kind of even childlike feeling to this, then my life opens up and I get the extra room and I get the prestige and I get all these wonderful options that go with that. There's kind of like, you know, these are all the big things that are going to come. It's as if your dream is exploring this, because you were somehow thrown in the deep end just a couple of days before. So what did something happen to kind of throw you in the deep end a couple of days before this dream?
I'm thinking back, it was a while back now. I might have had an interview back then at some point, and maybe it was to do with the job interview, I don't know, and maybe that's why there was this woman in the background trying to prevent me, because I know the franchisee did mention that he had to interview staff, friends and relatives of staff now, you know, because I actually was on holidays when the position was available, and I'd actually just had an operation, so I wasn't actually able to work straight away. And because of that, because of the time frame, they've been talking around the business and people were mentioning that they had friends that needed a job and they had relatives that needed a job, you know, and that's probably this woman in the background, how I wanted to get the rubber, and she was in the background trying to prevent me because I think people were in his ear trying to, you know, get their 20 cents in. But anyway.
There was also
maybe that.
Yeah, it could well relate to that. And well, I want to definitely come back to that, LRH. But so, you know, if you look at everyone and everything in a dream as representing something about you, then that woman in the mm-hmm. background is like a voice in the background of yourself, you know, part of yourself you don't know too clearly. That's also shouting out, stop, stop, don't go down this road, don't do this, don't do that. There's a part of you saying, stop, stop. And there's a part of yourself going, I can't stop, I've been thrown in the deep end. You know, I'm getting all emotional, I'm doing all these things. And another part of you saying, no, no, no. So it's kind of like a bit of a battle going on here. So because you're kind of relating the dream to maybe being about that interview, that job interview, you don't, of course, need to tell us too much about it because this is everyone's going to be listening to this. But do you have a kind of push me, pull me feeling about the interview? Is it that you do want the job, or I do and I don't? I'm not really sure. It's not really the way that I want to go kind of feeling.
Yeah, well, the funny thing was when it was offered was the time where I couldn't actually physically work. So, you know how when you can't physically work and someone's offering you a job, it's just like, what the?
Yes,
How did this happen? Yeah, so I physically couldn't work. It was like well, if you couldn't work then, they didn't sort of understand, I don't think, why I couldn't jump before, you know, and that's probably why, I don't know. I didn't actually hear anymore, which happens with a lot of interviews these days. You go for interviews and you don't really hear much feedback back. Because, you know, down here, I don't know if you know, that we're in a working recession in Wollongong, and we have been for years. So employment, you can get interviews and you can get two interviews, but someone generally knows someone or has a friend of the family, and it's very hard to sort of, and a lot of the jobs aren't full-time 45-hour-a-week jobs. They're only 15 hours or a little bit of employment. And, you know, it's, by the time you travel and pay for petrol to get there, you think, am I any better off, you know? But
yes, so there's a part of you then that's saying, what's the point of having the job, because by the time I've paid for petrol and everything, I'm not really any better off. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying a lot of the jobs down here, it's only really enough just to get you working. You're not going much further ahead. When yes. you are working, because a lot of the jobs aren't 40 hours a week, you know, they're not, you know, they're just 15 hours. So, but as I said, we're in a working recession. Wollongong is different to Sydney.
Yes.
And we're in a working recession, and that's, you know, how it is with employment down here. I mean, and then you do your own projects where you're working for yourself, but until you start earning money, you know, that's another juggle. So you're also juggling things for that and juggling things for your own. And you're trying to build up, and time just sucks up through the week.
So it's interesting. Yeah. I love that when you say, you know, you're trying to build up, and then we've got in the dream this sense of the new house, the Prestige House, which is a building, and a kind of moving up into Prestige there too. So there's a sense there mm-hmm. that, you know, I'm listening carefully to what you're saying, and there's the idea of on the one hand, we need a job while we're building up the projects that we've got on the side and that I'm building up, because you can't, until you get that project that you're, or that business that you're building up to a certain stage, you've got to have your income from somewhere else as well. So you've got that dilemma, which a lot of people will relate to going on. And in the dream, it's like almost, here's the Prestige House. If you could have this, and the feeling I get listening to your dream and listening to you, is that Prestige House is your project all grown up. It's like, yeah, that's what I really want. I don't really want the job. I want that house. And if I can get that far, then I can get the extra room and everything that goes with that. You know, and then there's this voice in the background kind of going, stop, stop, you can't think like that. So there's all this conflict going on about which way to go, which way to go. Do you find that in interviewing for jobs that it's almost like you're presenting a different persona, you know, having to present a kind of business, a different business side of yourself than the side of yourself that you put into your home project and business?
I've got a lot of areas that I've worked in over the years, and then I've had children, and then I've been home with children. And when you've been home with children for a long time, it's very hard to get back in. But as I said, I've got a very broad resume, so I've got a lot of hats I can put on. And in a way, you've got to sort of not really show all your hats, or people think you're overqualified a little in some aspects. A lot of people don't include a lot of their information that they have of their skills because they do appear overqualified. But you know, so that's another factor. So, you know, it's just, you know, as I said, there are jobs, but there's a lot of people applying for the jobs. only one person or two people get them.
Yeah, so. It's interesting that overqualified, and you're not putting down all your hats when you apply for a job. It's another view of the eraser or the rubber, isn't it? What I erase when I write my resume, I don't write it all down. I don't use my pens to write it all down. I use some erasers to rub some of it out, because otherwise I'm going to appear overqualified.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of different areas. I mean, I've also done a nursing course recently, so I've got a real estate background, and then office work, reception, office management, you know, a management background as well. So I used to manage a shopping centre. So you know, I've got a broad background, and it's very hard, you know, getting back into something. But as I said, I don't really, just something. In general, I'm not being fussy, just a normal, everyday job. The less stressy it is, the better, because, as I said, I write, so you need that free-flowing thinking, creativity to come out, and it's very hard to come out if you're in a stressy job. So
it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's interesting, based on that, you know, well, first of all, real estate kind of gets a message, a look in the dream with the prestige home. But I'm also thinking, you know, you've got the home that's got, in the dream, that home has got 3 to 4 bedrooms, and the idea is if you take that on, you'll get an extra one free. And my brain is going, is that like having a job for money 3 to 4 days a week that then gives you a free day off to do your writing?
Maybe.
Which you then,
but, I'm not actually looking for a house or anything. I don't know why there was a house in the dream.
No, so the house is totally symbolic.
And the folks that I had the interview with wasn't from real estate, so he's not from a house background. So, but anyway, that was just the dream. But, I mean, that's if it was him, you know. But, I mean...
So the house is symbolic, and the house may be symbolic of... If you choose 3 to 4 bedrooms, so doesn't mean a house. It means if you maybe choose a job that you only work 3 to 4 days a week, if you're lucky enough to find one and get it, then that gives you a 3 to 4 days working week. It's like the symbol of the 3 to 4 bedroom house in the dream. Gives you 1 to 2 weekdays to do your writing, and some of the weekend, depending on how much time you've got at the weekend. So it's almost like your dream is coming up with this solution. Okay, so what if you focus on getting a job for 3 to 4 days a week, because then you will have that flowing time to do your writing, be a whole day to dedicate, or maybe 2 days a week if you get a three day a week job, you've got 2 days a week to focus on your writing. And the dream is all about this conflict about how much do I present about myself, how much do I put myself forward as my business, you know, how much do I put on my resume as the fact that I've managed a shopping centre before, done real estate, done this, that and the other, and how much of that do I erase, do I rub out, do I not put on in order to get the job? But then there's also this idea with your writing, because you've mentioned that your project is writing. There's the idea, I've got pens that I want to write with, but do I also want to, am I going to rub some of that out? Or, you know, how do I find the time? What do I want to write? What do I not want to write? And all this conflict going on there. And maybe, you know, that reference to the side jacket pocket may not only be to your late father's magician kind of thing, the magic you might have, but it also might be my job on the side. You know, you've got... but if I ask you, which would be the most important feeling to you, the writing work that you have or the job that you do for money?
No, I like the writing, but you need something that brings money in the meantime, because all the writers will tell you, even the writers that are continually publishing, it's not something you do for money. It's something you do because you love to write, because you've got to be really, really high up to be making money out of writing.
But, so which one would feel to you like the front job, and which one would feel like the side job?
Probably, the day job would just be a slide in. I wouldn't notice it. I'd subconsciously probably do the day job, and then the writing, I'd know what I was doing with the writing in the background.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's just like riding a bike. You'd just turn up, you'd work, and you'd go home. It would be a job where I'd be putting, you know, running my own business. I'd just be working there, doing what I had to do, and come home. you know, after doing jobs where you're managing a shopping centre, a small everyday job wouldn't be that full on for someone like me. I'd be able to just turn off and then just do my writing.
So the
writing's relaxing. It's writing's very relaxing and creative. It's only when you get into the end of a book that it's like you're trying to squash an octopus into a jar, wrestle it into a jar, and that's when it becomes, you've got to problem solve things out, and that's when it becomes all in a knot. But at the beginning, it's quite fun, especially when you've got a lot of creativity and ideas. It's like going on like a fun ride at the beginning, like going on a holiday. You can go anywhere you want, put anything in there that goes through. But it's just when you're getting to the end, you're just wrestling that octopus into that jar. And that's when it becomes a headache. And as for editing that comes after, which you know yourself, you've published.
Yes.
It's not my forte. I have to do my bit of editing. My editor says it's got to be edited 3 times before it goes to him type thing. But I would never want to be an editor.
So the editing's like the eraser again, isn't it? Using the eraser as the editing.
Yeah, well, you have to do it because, I mean, they don't want to look at work. They want it edited at least 3 times, and then you have a friend look over it or another writer type look over it at least before they get it, and then they'll go through.
So is that where you're up to at the moment, trying to squeeze the octopus in the jar and going through the editing, or are you earlier in this particular book that you're writing at the moment?
On my trilogy, I'm octopus in the jar. And I'm wanting my son to look through it because he's got the problem-solving mind. He's a bit like the grandmother. So, my father was he was talented and gifted, and the son, he's got this problem-solving mind that you wouldn't believe.
Yes.
And he also writes too, and I was wanting him to have a look at it as well, to sort of go through some things. As I said, your editor always gets you to have another person look at it. What you miss, like the blind eye doesn't see things, and what you miss, someone else will catch when they look at it.
So that's right. So it's almost like your son, even though he's very young, or younger than you, not younger than you, it's almost as if the son is the business advisor in the dream as well, the investor, because, you know, you've described him as the one that can go over and have a good eye and, you know, be gifted and rigorous about it. So, you know, there's that aspect too that, you know, the whole idea of this dream about the pens and the erasers is making more and more sense, isn't it? You know, the editing, what I rub out, what I put up for myself, not only in my book, but also in my job, you know, in what I write in a resume to get the job that I need and I want. So at this terrible squeezing the octopus into the jar time in your life, there's also this feeling of, what do I want to erase, not only in editing and not only off my resume, but in my life as well? Where can I edit? Where can I rub out some of the things that I have to do in life to give myself more time to focus on my writing, focus on squeezing the octopus in the jar? Do you feel that your life is a bit overloaded sometime, and that you could kind of cut back and cut down in order to give more creative flow to getting your books out there?
Yeah, I could. But your day is filled with things you've got to do, you know, and then you've got to do all these things to get through the day, and there's only so much time for writing. I generally write in the mornings anyway, early morning. And I just, even being at home, I can't just sit and write knowing, unless I've had a cleaner here, like I couldn't sit writing knowing I'd prefer to vac first and do what I've got to do and then allocate some time. But normally I dreamcast in through the night, and then I'll write down pinpoints or things in the morning. And if I need to go through and edit that section, I'll do that in the afternoon. Because if you're editing things as you're writing things, you're losing your flow of writing things.
Oh, yeah, it's two completely different processes, isn't it? One is writing and the other is editing. Yeah. You can't do them together. Yeah. They're two completely different things. Yeah. But it does sound like what you're saying, you know, that there are things that you said you have to do, like you think that you have to vacuum the house before you do the writing. And maybe you don't, you know, maybe those are some of the things that you can erase from your life for very short periods, like ask your son to do the vacuuming, or everyone, we've got a dirty house for 3 weeks because I'm in the creative flow, you know, to question how much you're trying to do versus how much you want to do and fit in. could be an important part, because it's almost like you've got all these emotional pulls going in the dream as well. And, you know, how can we kind of focus and cut down on some of that and allow you to go through and do what you want to do, to almost have that extra room, you know, the free room that's mentioned in the house, the extra room in your life, not a physical room in a building, but the extra room within yourself and your time to be able to do what you want to do, which is clearly to flow with your writing, isn't it?
Yeah, you just virtually got to juggle everything and balance. So you're doing a little bit of each thing and everything's getting fitted in the day, pretty much. That's all you can do. But it is a lot easier.
I'm suggesting maybe you don't always have to juggle, you see. You believe that you have to juggle all these things, but maybe, just maybe for short periods of your time, you can erase some of those things that you think you've got to juggle. You don't actually really need to do them all, because if you really sit and think about it, if you edit your life, you think some of those things just might not need to be done. Not forever, but just for a few weeks here and there to free up your time.
Yeah. Mm.
Worth thinking about. I'd love to know, because all the people in these pools, I said, you said a lot of the people in the pools were aged 10 to 12. What was happening?
Kids, but mainly adults.
What was happening for you when you were aged 10 to 12?
Nothing really. I did go around swimming pools, though, that were speaking of it. Like, I do remember going after school to pools and on the weekend, like, to the local pool. So more than the beach. I only occasionally went to the beach. So I was around pools, but I didn't know whether that represented the staff that this fellow had, you know, that were already, each one was in a pool in an area working for him.
Yes.
And because they were all pretty much adults except for a few couple of kids, and those kids weren't little kids. They were, like, as I said, you know, 10 to 12 or older, 16, and then adults. So
When did you start writing? Or do you write for 10 to 12-year-olds?
No, I write for children to adults, like a broad ratio audience range. Mm. So pretty much you could read it, or a child in fifth class or fourth class could read it, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's lovely.
So it's a broad, it's like fantasy fiction, and for, you know, kids to adults, you know, the young at heart ones, or even some of the other ones wouldn't mind some of it, because it's a bit of a mixture.
So there's some sense that all those pools could also be, or the different kind of pools of ages and age groups that could be reading your book, from the 10 to 12-year-olds right up to the 45-year-olds as well, that, and all the different emotions and feelings that they've got. But when did you start writing? Do you remember how old you were when you started writing?
I started tinkering with my third son. He was a really good baby. In the middle of the night, I'd get him up, feed him, burp him, get him back to bed, all in 30 minutes, and I'd just be sitting there. He'd be asleep, and I'd just be sitting there like, I'm not even tired now. How do I get back to bed? And I'd sit there and I'd start scribbling ideas down, and then I'd gradually go back to sleep, because I couldn't sleep straight away, whereas my first son would take 3 hours to do all that. So I'd basically get 30 minutes sleep, and it'd be da-da-da, and it'd be on again. So I was like a zombie with the first one, but the little one, the daughter, she was good, but the third one was excellent, and he was just a breeze. So, I'd sit there with this time, and it'd all be done, and I'd still be able to be awake for at least another hour or half an hour, and I'd just tinker with writing stuff down, and then I began to realise that things were scribbled down at that time of the night, and you couldn't really read them that clearly. So then I started on a computer. So it went within the computer straight, and you didn't have to retype it in. You just put it straight in the computer.
Yes.
And that's how it started. But it was only just a bit of scribble. And then many years later, I mingled overseas and I deal with a lot of the horror writers in America. And I've done like online courses as well to do with writing and creative writing, I should say. And that didn't really change what I'm writing, but changed the way you present stuff and what you do. Because I was doing something online, it pretty much gives you like 10 years experience in the field when you come out running, rather than just coming out cold turkey and being on your L's.
Mm.
So.
That's wonderful. So you've really done a lot of work on using your pens and using your erasers to refine your art and your writing along the way. And you've also done a lot of work, from what I'm hearing there, on time management. You know, oh, the kids are in bed, I can write now. Or he only needs, the second son was good, I can write now. So it is about finding that time. And I have the sense in your dream and from what you're saying that, you know, the dream has come up because of this, as you say, what you feel is a juggling for time and space. Whereas if you can erase some of the things and jobs that you think need to be done, actually erase them, then you'll find that there is more time. If you can focus more on getting a job rather than a full-time job, getting a job that's 3 to 4 days a week for money, then you've got another 1 to 2 days a week totally focused on getting the octopus in the jar and doing your writing. So it's about erasing on a big scale. You know, what can you, jobs can you erase from your life? What hours can you knock off the kind of job that you would get for money? And in doing that, how many hours can you add to your writing? How much can you erase from your life? Because if you can do that, you've got the gift of all the extra room. And if you picture that house in your dream, LRH, and remember, it's not a house, it's just symbolic of you, and think, if I can get to that stage, if I can say yes to 3 to 4 days a week at work or 3 to 4 days or something, then hey, I get all this extra space for free. It comes for free just because I get everything else down into 3 to 4 days. So even if you find you're doing tasks at home and jobs and it's kind of filling up the space to fill the time available and not leaving enough time for writing, cut it back. Say 3 to 4 days a week, like the 3 to 4 rooms in the house. I'm going to do all my jobs Monday through to Wednesday. That's 3 days a week. And then that's going to give me 1 to 2 days. I totally focus on my writing and I don't do anything else beyond that other than love the people around me. That's all I do. The dream is asking you to consider what to add into your life and what to give yourself and what to erase from it. And it's also asking you to consider, perhaps, I feel it, every time the business aspect comes in the dream, like the businessman or the investor, it keeps flipping to the more emotional and flowery and kind of young and flowing stuff. Mm. And they're getting in the water and it's not as bad as it seems. Actually, it's rather nice. It's a spa. So the kind of your unconscious mind and your dream is really also sort of suggesting get much more in touch with who you are, what you want, your flow, your emotions, your feminine side, your flowery side, and let that guide what you spend your time and energy on. How does that sound?
Yeah, good. It is rather funny that, you know, one side of the dream was very business-like and the other side of the dream was like we're in a swimming pool, like it was very leisure-like, which is actually like my life, because when I'm creative at home doing the creative thing, it is very leisurely and kicked back and very flowy. And then when you're looking at the real day job hat, that's the real day job hat, you know, with the suit and sort of thing. And that is how my life is. It's like one extreme to the other.
It is.
That was what the dream was like as well. It was business, like business. That's why I was in such shock at being in a suit and then I was in a costume.
Because
you know,
that's life.
Really what it's about.
So it's, I'm glad that you can see that in the dream, because it's a real standout, isn't it? And it's one of the things that our dreams do try to do, is they try to take situations in our life where we do live at extremes, where it's like two things are in opposition to each other, and especially if they're wearing us out or we're not totally happy with them, and our dreams try to find a solution. They try to sort of think, how can we have both of these things in our life without them being like living two separate lives? How can we kind of meld them together?
Even 2 days will suit me fine. Yes. 2 or 3 days. I'm not in a position where I have to work full time, but I just need to, you know, work a little and then would be happy just to write. And if I could get the chance just to get the writing done and the free time, you know, I think the books would be quite have a responsive audience to the books, but it's very hard to get over that hurdle of getting the time to finish things when you're caught in a hula hoop doing the things you've got to do through the day.
That's right. So if you can picture that thing, and I do know from talking around to quite a lot of people who are in particularly talking to mothers of little children, that they say the trick these days in Australia is to apply for a full time job, and then when you're offered it, you then knock it back. You say, well, actually, I'm going to work part-time. And because they really like you so much and they've picked you, they do tend to go for it. So that's just a little hint from things that I've heard. So I think your dream is really trying to problem solve it in this way and open up that time for you. So going for a job that is only 3 days a week, as you say, you know, you feel you can manage on that, and also sitting down with a pen and paper and writing down a list of all the things that you do in a week, and then erasing the ones that you really don't need to do at the moment if you're going to be able to flow with your dream, which is, and your relaxed state, which is your writing, which is where you're supposed to be, really. So get out your eraser. And I think if we're going to do some dream alchemy on this, you know, I think that's what the dream alchemy would be. I think it would be go to the shop and buy a nice eraser similar to the one that you saw in your dream, or go and buy or get a great big huge white eraser, and then get some lovely colored textures and actually draw some pretty flowers on them so they look more like the erasers in your dream. And then sit down with a piece of paper and actually write that list. You're going to do two columns, and in one column write down all the things, big and small, that you do in a day, the huge big jobs and also the little tiny things. Write everything down, the jobs, and then take out your eraser and rub out the ones that you really don't need to do at all, and then maybe kind of half rub out the ones that you don't need to do as often, and really focus on doing that. That would be the dream alchemy, because you're using the symbol from your dream, the flowery eraser, to actually edit your life. And although you don't like editing your writing, no writer likes editing their writing, it sucks. You will enjoy, I tell you, you will thoroughly enjoy editing your jobs, because, you know, we've all got the things we don't really want to do, or we can persuade our sons and daughters to do for us, or just do without for a while, or do less fully. So yes, it's an editing job on your life and your time, so that you can spend more of your time in your leisurely and wonderful and gifted flow of writing, LRH. How does that sound?
Very good.
Okay. Well, get to it and enjoy, and I look forward to, hey, when your trilogy is published, get in touch with me, because if you're comfortable with it, then I can go back to, you know, let people know in a future dream show, remember LRH? Well, here's a trilogy, you can go and buy it. So keep me up to date on that. Thank you for being a wonderful guest on the dream show, LRH.
No worries. Thanks very much, Jane.
Well, I really look forward to reading LRH's trilogy when she's squashed that octopus into the jar, or her three octopi into three jars. And I love this fact that sometimes you can take the symbols or the conflicts from someone else's dream and apply them in your own life. And I think we can all take the idea of, you know, writing down the list of all the things that we do in our lives, and then taking the eraser and rubbing out or editing the things that we really don't need to do in order to be able to focus on the things that we really want to do. And along with it, that idea of having the house, you know, the house representing your potential or yourself, and the fact that, yeah, you know, maybe 3 to 4 days of my week I'm doing this, or three quarters of my life is about this, but hey, there's extra room, there's extra potential for me there. So I guess I'm leaving you with the question of, I gave you a pen in one hand and an eraser in the other hand, what parts of your life might you erase, edit out, liberate some time and energy for yourself? And what parts of your life might you write about, or write in, or add to? How can you add to your life? What can you take away from your life to add more? What do you want to write into your life to enlarge it and live a bigger life? And in doing that, are there some things that you have to erase or let go? Play with the symbols, and I look forward to talking with you again in episode 199, which will be live on the 5th of January 2018. Have a wonderful 4 weeks, a wonderful Christmas, a wonderful New Year, and I'll speak with you then. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.